Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
I wasn't looking for Christianity, and I truthfully, it was the last place I thought to find truth at all.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Okay. Thank you. What is truth? Where can you find it? It's all right to have question. What is truth? Another word for truth is what is real? What is really going on? What is really happening? How do things really work? Today we have a young guest. Her name is Elizabeth Nethery. Elizabeth came to a place in her life where she rejected Christianity, maybe we'd call it churchianity, as a philosophy or a way to find truth. I've been turned off by churchianity and even the church that I grew up in because it seemed ineffective. And I believe there was truth in the church, but it wasn't all the truth. There was more. There had to be more. There had to be proof for the pudding, or proof in the pudding. So in my own personal search, as I see it now, God wants you to come to Him personally, and then you make the decision. So today, in our continuing quest for what is truth, Elizabeth Nethery, here she is. Hi, Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for having
and
me.
You weren't always a Christian.
No, I was raised in the church. My great grandmother and my grandmother were pastors, actually, and then my mom married a pastor, so I was raised in the church, but I just didn't see a lot of God there.
Mm.
And I felt like there was a lot of I didn't see real problems being addressed. I saw a lot of good things, and I saw a lot of, you know, what we would call self-righteousness. But basically, we would look at other people and we would feel so much better than them because we were saved and they weren't, or our church was better than that church. I saw in my family, my parents actually got divorced. My stepdad and my mom got divorced. And the reaction of the church wasn't exactly lovely.
You need the devil as a pitchfork. Ouch.
Yeah, so my mom remarried a couple more times, and one of the people she remarried was...
I can see people tuning in now. The story's getting interesting.
She had been, and yeah, that would be its own story, but one of them was a Jehovah's Witness, and so, again, there was just this collision of belief systems, and by the time I graduated from high school, I was just done with church, and I was done with just really very angry and very resentful and very judgmental, actually, and pretty much everything in me was determined to be different and determined to just not be like my mom, not be like what I saw. And so I was driven by the only thing I knew that I could rely on. And truthfully, that was my mind. And that was the only place that I felt valued. So I pushed, and I graduated a year early, and I went to college, and I started in anthropology, and then moved over to comparative history of ideas. And it all sounded very intellectual, but really I was just hungry, and I wanted truth.
What is truth? Great.
Yeah. Great. You know, so I'd sit and do meditation with Hindus and, you know, and I, or, well, actually, excuse me, with Buddhist monk, actually. And
what is that meditation?
You know, honestly, it's been a long time ago, so I'm sure people would differ with me and have much. I just tried it. I was just trying everything, and I would sit down and just try to empty my mind and focus on specific things. And I just was trying everything. You know, at one of the most provoking questions I had, I was sitting next to my friend, and he was Jewish by birth, but he was Hindi by religion. And so we called him the Hindu, actually. And we sat there, and we were talking about Christianity in one of our classes, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, well, what's your thought on it? And he said, well, He said, what did Jesus ever save? You know, what good ever came from Christianity?
Whoa. Okay, so this fellow here, this Jewish Hindu, okay, let's go on.
Well, it provoked me, actually. I wouldn't have called myself a Christian, but I had grown up having missionaries come and stay in my house. And, you know, the way we were hearing of missionaries was that they would go and destroy culture and, you know, and take over places. And, you know, just not that they seemed to be the enemy in many ways. And it didn't fit the people that I had actually known. And so even, like I said, even though I wouldn't say I was a Christian, I still valued those people. And it just caused me just to ask more and more questions and more and more questions. And I went to Tennessee briefly.
Okay, you're not going to get away with that. I want to know one of those questions.
I wanted to know. And, you know, God, if you're real, what does it look like? And if you are real, what's possible? I mean,
these are way high up thinking.
No, I think everybody thinks these questions. And it was interesting because I actually got the Bhagavad Gita and I got a couple other Hindi books and I started reading them. And I finally came to this place where I said, God, I think that the God that spoke to Abraham is real. And I said, but maybe we were wrong about Jesus. And so I just said, you know, God, like,
did you have any feelings with that?
You know, I think as much as I kept saying I don't believe there's a God, or if there is a God, you know, I don't know what it looks like, there was still something inside of me.
Were you challenging?
Yeah, I was really angry, and I hadn't seen Christianity modeled in the church. Mm. And I know that sounds really bad, but we would talk about the gifts of the Spirit, or we would talk about the supernatural, and we would be all very proud of ourselves for believing in those things, but we never actually saw them happen. Mm-hmm. And all I saw was just meanness. And, you know, so I wanted something real, and especially coming out of where I had been, where I'd seen my family fall apart and I'd seen people die, and, you know, my life was a perfect mess. I wanted something real. You know, I wanted something that could change my life and fix it, you know. And so I just didn't have much time for somebody that wanted to tell me a sweet story and another, you know, way of living.
Sweet. That's why so many people are exiting the church.
Yeah.
In fact, what I understand is people leave the church to find God.
Yeah, and I truthfully think that people are very hungry spiritually. Even though we talk in, you know, about Americans as being too intellectual and too intelligent for God, most of the people I knew that were, you know, in colleges and the most liberal, they were some of the kindest people and the most hungry spiritually. They just didn't see anything good in Christianity. And yeah, and actually it's funny because the last paper I ever wrote, it was a 10-page paper just blasting the church. And God has a sense of humor.
Let's see, do I have any notes on that here?
I did. I compared.
No, go on. No.
I compared it actually with, I tried to be really smart about it. You know, I compared it with Plato's theories of mimesis and contagion, which basically reduced it to mob mentality. Is that, okay, you know, a song starts and, you know, that they move into this experience, but nothing real is really happening. And so I wrote 10 pages on this. And that right after that, I went.
It's like, I say the placebo effect.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and statistically, what is placebo effect? 40-50%.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Whoa.
Like maybe they're all fooling themselves. Exactly. And I truthfully can't say that I was looking for Christianity. I got bombarded. I went to Florida to visit and I got bombarded by all of, you know, it's the Southern, you know, the Bible Belt. And there were all of these good people and they had their good thing going on. And they would come up to me and, you know, if you died tonight, do you know where you're going? And I literally laughed at one of them. I felt I was not very nice. But they had all of their canned speeches and their canned ways of making me feel small, actually. That didn't work for me. I wasn't looking for Christianity, and I truthfully, it was the last place I thought to find truth at all. And it was really funny. I went to go look at a house for rent. I went to go look at this house for rent, and there was a man, and he was mowing the lawn. And he looked up at me, and I'll never, that memory is just so imprinted in my heart. He looked up at me, and I'm sure he said hello. I'm sure he said something, but all I heard was, "I love you." And it totally startled me. It just threw me back. That man was actually Tom Jones. He's now a speaker at Global Awakening. He was love. He was love. And I did end up going and visiting his church in Florida. And I went because someone was going to be speaking and they asked me to come as like moral support. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've done church before. I know how to behave. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, you know. And then I got there and I saw what was going on in their church. And I thought, this will be great research. So I literally would sit on the back pew writing notes of the things I was seeing because I'm like, this is amazing. And then I saw someone get healed. I saw someone with a tumor. They got healed, and it wrecked me. Like I didn't know how to make sense of that. And I was still very argumentative. I was still very challenging with people, and I still kind of, you know, I'm not necessarily someone that I struggle sometimes, even in the supernatural. I want to see it verified. I want to see, like, mm-hmm. someone said there was a healing. I want to see the x-rays. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just how I'm bent. I believe in those.
I think that personality that you have is necessary today. We got to stand strong. We're not second-class citizens just playing a fantasy game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and exactly. And I think, too, because, again, it was that thing where I wanted to see something real. You know, I wanted to see something that was real, whether it was supernatural healing or whether it was cleaning up the mess in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a combination of just somebody modeling love and modeling the Father to me, mm-hmm. and just, you know, just being willing not to see where I was necessarily, but see who I was inside, mm-hmm. and just love me into that place. So yeah, so that was kind of the journey into the church. Mm-hmm. And I happened to get there. It's funny because I joke and I say that I accidentally walked into the room where all the great people were and they just let me stay. Because, I showed up at this church right as Randy Clark started coming to visit. And it was just turning everything upside down. And people were going to Brazil and they were seeing miracles and everything. And it was just provoking me because these were people that were contending for more than just a lifestyle of being good. And I wasn't very good at being good, so that worked for me.
Is this a place to say amen? It's not a place to say amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't really know which direction I was headed. One of the things I had really messed me up, and it's present day, you know, because it's been a journey. A couple years ago, you know, as you continue this journey, even though you're a Christian, there's still this battle of like, God, like, you know, I see this in the word where you say that I can lay hands on the sick, or I see this in your word where you say this can happen. And, you know, but in the practice of it, there's still this like this wrestling with it. And a couple years ago, I was at this conference and I didn't know what I was doing. And this one girl, she was sitting kind of in front of me over towards the left, and she just really stood out to me. She just looked beautiful, actually. I just kept looking at her and staring and thinking, she is so beautiful. What is it about her? And there was one point in the service where they asked anyone that needed healing in their body to stand up, and she stood up. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And so I was already drawn to her. And my friend sitting to my left, she went to the people behind us. And then I call her my mama. My mama sitting to the right, she was going off to the right-hand side. So I thought, okay, no one's going over to her, so let me go over there. So I walked over to her, and actually my mama, she walked over in front of the people in front of us and actually ended up meeting me over in front of this other girl.
Okay, this girl that you were looking at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And this girl, I asked her, you know, really sweetly, you know, I'm like, you know, what's going on? You know, what can I pray for you for? And she says, you know, she was bipolar. She had a split personality disorder. She was suicidal. And I'm literally, anything going through my head is that, oh my goodness, I should have gone to the right instead of to the left because I don't know how to pray for someone like this, you know, and you're thinking like, you know, can this person even be in their right mind to agree in faith? I mean, you're just wrestling with all of these questions. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I was thankful. I had my mama there. She was, you know, she was able to pray for her first. And then she got whisked away. She got sent over to a meeting.
Go ahead. So you're stuck with this girl.
So I'm stuck with this girl.
How'd you know she was bipolar? Well, and you said dissociative identity disorder?
Yes, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And her husband was there with her. And I didn't – she was on the floor and she was I don't know how to say this politely or anything, but she was just crazy. Like, mm-hmm, you look at her and she couldn't look at you. Mm-hmm. And she was just floating and just la, la, la. Like, she just couldn't even look at you. And the husband was really what broke me because he just looked exhausted. I mean, he just looked worn down and just exhausted. And my husband's mother was bipolar, and I know what happened in their family, and their family, it caused them to fall apart. And so it took it personal also. You know, I could understand what this husband was going through. And mm-hmm, he shared with me as his wife was on the floor that they had taken her. She was in counseling and she was on medication, and they had taken her place after place after place. And he said, you know, that somebody had actually paid for them to come to this conference because they didn't know what else to do. And so somebody had actually bought them the tickets to come here. And he was just – it was like last resort. And, you know, so I spent a couple hours with
them. It was
them.
The last resort.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you ever did anything like this.
Yeah.
Last yeah. resort.
And so I stayed with her and I prayed for a long time, and I really didn't know what I was doing. And so I just, you know, the man that was there, I just, the husband and everything, I just started to encourage him with the word that I knew that he could stand on. And just giving him, you know, the word says that we can choose life or choose death. And I just talked to him about choosing life every day, choosing life. You know, I just started thinking even in my own process, just what are the things that I stood for and chose and said, God, I'm going to choose to believe you, you know, in this and wait for you to keep your word. And, you know, so I just talked with him about this. And, you know, in the meantime, his wife is still on the floor, and we would kind of intermittently just pray over her. And we came back from the lunch break, and Bill Johnson, he got up and he's a speaker at this meeting, and he got up and he started talking about how the Army that day in the newspaper, the Army had started researching brain trauma. And he said, this is really on God's radar. And he said, if you have brain trauma or any kind of mental illness, he said, I want you to stand up and I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw this woman a couple more times during the conference, and honestly, I tried to avoid her like a plague. I'm just being really honest. She was stressful. She'd suck the life out of you when she came up to you, and so you just felt cornered, like you couldn't get away from her, and she couldn't look at you in the eye, and she was just still kind of messy. So anyway, so fast forward down, it was several months later, and we were at another conference. I see her there, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I don't want to see her. Please hide her from me. I mean, I'm just being honest. We had had a really stressful week. My husband had been traveling. I didn't want to deal with something like that. And I was in the middle of talking with someone, and she came up from the side. And I saw her. Actually, she was wearing these bright red boots, and I had seen them. I looked, and I see these red boots, and I'm thinking, oh, no. And I looked up, though, and her eyes were set right, and her expression, she was there. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I looked at her, and I was like, okay, wait a second. And she starts talking to me, and she's saying how she's not on medication anymore. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I never told you. I would never tell you not to get off your meds. And I'm sort of panicking, you know, and I wish I could say I even believed her, but I'm thinking maybe she's like in like a manic state. I'm really questioning, and I'm thinking, God, I know you're big enough to do this, but did you do this, you know? And so she starts talking, and she's sharing her journey and how she left there. And apparently she did go back to a doctor, and it was her doctor that took her off the meds. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy about that. Mm-hmm. But she shared how afterward they ended up getting plugged in a church where, you know, they really taught her the word, and she did some inner healing type of counseling after that too. But there is still, even though she's telling me all of this, I'm still just like, I just couldn't believe it. And then her husband came up, and I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going to see what's really happening, because she might be able to say it, but what's he going to say? And so he starts sharing with me, and he was so proud of his wife. It was like you could see joy in him, and you could see like the life had come back in him, and he was so proud. It was like he was like, "Look at this! This is my wife. Isn't she beautiful?" And just bragging about her. And I still, it was like I walked away from that encounter, and I was just messed up. I just was like, "God, like what was that? You know how I didn't even have faith. I didn't even know how to pray for someone like that. And yet you did it."
Didn't feel anything.
No.
In fact, like you said, you were trying to avoid her. Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is how a miracle works. That's what we're teaching today.
But, you know, it talks about Jesus and how he was, quote unquote, moved by compassion. And I was moved by compassion, but I was moved by compassion for him, you know, and what he was going through and having to live this life out with someone like this. And, you know, and so there was that element of compassion, and there was the element of faith to say, I'm going to at least try. I'm going to at least step out and try and just believe that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really amazing, though, because afterward, what really startled me about her story was just the absolute completion of God's redemption and how he doesn't just take us from getting out of something, but for something else.
Mm, takes us into something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she afterward, she ended up going on a ministry trip to Brazil that next summer, and everyone was just amazed by her, and she was ministering to people. And then I'd see her at a conference 6 months later, and I just saw her yesterday, and just hearing how her journey is continuing to unfold and how now she's helping people that were, you know, that are in that place, and she's helping bring them out of it. And it was just so amazing to me, because it's like, you know, it, so much of the time we talk about getting saved, and, you know, and I said, you know, I wanted something that was real, but it's like, God, it's like, it's not like he's just trying to get us saved so we'll go to heaven and so we can be good, but it's where he's saving us to be sons and daughters and walk in the kingdom and go do things and go dream and go, you know, go live out, you know, these amazing, impossible destinies and pray for people and see them get healed. And, it's just amazing to me. So
that took a lot of the skepticism out of your soul.
Yeah.
You know, I would believe you still have questions, and you're a person that isn't convinced easily, in a good sense.
I think a lot of our questions get overwhelmed by goodness, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the relationship, you know. For me, I'm not necessarily where I was 10 years ago, 12 years ago when I first walked in and had so many questions, because there's been a journey now, and there's been time after time after time after time that I've seen God be good and reveal himself and just in everyday things, you know, about our job or our house or, you know, just everyday things, you know, and you know, you just become overwhelmed by his goodness. It says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
That's right. The goodness of God that leads us to change, that word repentance, metanoia, yeah, to change the way we think.
Yeah.
And you know, I know we've heard run the other way, turn 180 degrees, feel sorry for your sin. But the main root is change the way you think.
Yeah.
That's it. And of course, that's what happened to you.
And you know, I'm married, and you know, in any relationship, you don't start out by, even when you feel like you're in love with someone, you don't start out just trusting them with your whole heart. It's a journey.
It's a journey.
It's a place where this person, time and time and time again, they love me, and they're gonna be there. And you know, when I got married, even though we had dated for 5 years, I wasn't good at trusting anything. But, you know, even then when we got married, there were still areas of my heart that I wasn't going to give my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with God. And I think that's one thing that we miss even when we are saved is Paul, he talks to the Galatian church and he says, you know, why have you tried to perfect in the flesh what was begun in the spirit? And so many times we get saved and we're trying to fix ourselves and we're trying to be really good. And, you know, and I told you I was never very good at being good, you know, and so that just really translated into my Christian life too. I didn't just change personalities because I got saved.
Very interesting point, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, my relationship was asking questions and him delighting in answering them. You know, I don't, you know, a lot of times we kind of tell people, you know, don't ask questions, just believe. But I think he likes the curiosity. I think he likes when we say, okay, but what about this? And, you know, and we're willing to wrestle through that, and we're willing to, you know, to ask him to reveal himself because he wants to. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to show us himself. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You looked like you were going to. Okay. You know, in our saved life, a lot of times I see people where they're trying to be good and they're trying to do all of this and stuff. And it's like, rather than just walking it out the same way and asking the questions and letting him reveal himself, because he led us in by love. He led us in by goodness. He's going to continue. It's a journey of redemption where he's going to continue to lead us in love and continue to lead us in greater places of freedom.
That was beautiful, Elizabeth. Oh, I really enjoyed that. Thank you for coming in and sharing that today. Today, we had Elizabeth Nethery of What is Truth?
Don't you worry, don't you cry, and don't you be upset. Minimize regret, 'cause it's time to be changing. That time is drawing near, and there's time to be changing. Calling you closer and closer. Calling you closer and closer.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night or in his light, you will never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.